Morning. Greeting in Jesus' name. We've been hearing a lot about Jesus' birth, and rightly so. I'm going to continue some thoughts on Jesus' birth, the Christmas story. How do you feel about Christmas? Maybe you've had people ask you, are you ready for Christmas? Quite often they're probably referring to generally to like the shopping, the gift wrapping, and food preparation, you name it. I've had another experience happen to me different times, and I observed it happen again last week in someone else's conversation. You know, a nice thing to say to someone this time of year is, Merry Christmas. Maybe at times we even want to add a little more meaning to it and say, have a blessed Christmas. Well, depending on who you're talking to, they may not feel the same way you do about it. There are folks that don't believe in Christmas. In this particular case, and in the instances I'm thinking of, they politely said, well, thanks for the kind words, but I don't believe in Christmas. Something to that effect, anyway. And maybe not always polite about it, like that case either. We could argue and question certain things about Christmas, and rightly so. The commercialization of Christmas and the pagan origins of some of the customs associated with Christmas. However, Christmas is considered a Christian holiday celebrating Jesus' birth. And as God's people, we have something of real importance to rejoice about, to celebrate and commemorate. With that reply I heard last week about Christmas, it got me thinking about what does the Christmas story really mean to me? I believe we certainly should be acknowledging and be excited about putting some meaning to it in a godly way rather than focusing on and getting involved in the commercialization and the mixed in pagan customs. What did the angel say to the shepherds? Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. No, the Bible does not specifically say that we should celebrate Jesus' birth. But what Jesus came and did for us makes for all the meaning and joy that we can experience during the Christmas season and in all of our life, 365 days a year. Perhaps that is the real challenge we need to take from the story of Jesus, make it a part of our life, not just through the Christmas season, but always. I'd like to read an excerpt from Brett Blair. What have you heard and seen this Christmas? Oh, you say, had I been there at Bethlehem that night, I would have seen. I would have understood. I would have known it was the Christ child. Would you? There's one way of knowing. Ask yourself what you have seen and heard this Christmas season. When you checked out the news, did you see chaos and strife? Or did you see sheep without a shepherd? When you went out to do your shopping, did you see only hordes of people in the stores? Or did you notice the worried expressions on some of their faces, worried because they are facing this Christmas without employment or enough money, and they don't know how they are going to make ends meet? What did you hear this Christmas? Did you hear only the blast of music and carols, or did you hear the silent sighs of the lonely and bereaved, who may be dreading Christmas because it accentuates their loneliness? And in the midst of the sounds of honking horns and people arguing over parking places, did you hear faint sounds of laughter coming from the mission projects because you furnished food and toys for families and children? You see, so often what you see and what you hear is not dependent upon the event, but upon you. If you did in fact hear the cry from the lonely, the laughter of poor children, if you saw the sheep without a shepherd, then and only then might you have noticed the events that took place in Bethlehem that night. If you lacked that spiritual seeing and hearing, then you probably would have been with the 99% who were present, but who saw or heard nothing out of the ordinary. In the end, perhaps one of our carols words it best, no ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls shall receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Amen. We read a portion of the story of Jesus in Matthew already this morning. That was in chapter 1, so I want to continue reading from Matthew chapter 2, a few verses there, and then we'll go to Luke chapter 2. And I agree with Darcy, I think my favorite Christmas story is in Luke as well. So Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we'll read verses 1 through 21. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own country. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which is told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Stop there. Such a beautiful story, a story that never grows old. But like that article we read earlier, where are we in this story of Jesus? We today are still part of the Christmas story, I believe. What I would like to try to do is pick out characters in the story of Jesus' birth and elaborate a little bit about each one. What can we learn from these people? Where do we fit in the Christmas story? Mary, the mother of Jesus. It is often said that it was almost every Jewish woman's desire to be the mother of Jesus. I didn't find any scripture verses to support that, and from the quick studying I did, all I found was that this is a misunderstanding of both Jewish belief and historical context. But it does make good sense that a sincere, godly Jewish woman would have wished that. So if you have something otherwise, I would love to know about it. However, in Luke 1, verse 38, we do see Mary's desire to be the handmaid of the Lord. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Mary was part of the greatest miracle there ever was, you could say. but not in arrogance. She was an humble person, handmaid, willing to be used of God however he saw fit. Some more verses in Luke 1, and Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of this handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." Another instance, we read also how Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. We could say Mary is an example to women, and yes, rightly so, but really to all of us as well. I'm struck by the surrender and peace that Mary showed in regards to being where God has called her. Things she didn't understand, but she heard the words of God, and she faithfully did what God called her to do, one step at a time. I believe it mentions twice in the scriptures that she pondered these things in her heart. And then later at the crucifixion, remember, she is standing there near the cross, her mother's heart probably nearly torn to pieces, but she saw God working his plan, and she was honored to be a part of it. Mothers and godly women, God has a very special and powerful place right where you are. The difference you make will not change the world in such a powerful way that it did in Mary's case, but you are part of the story of Jesus too. You are changing the world. You will influence many in ways we do not understand. So ponder and appreciate where God has you. It truly is a special place. Joseph, a just man, part of the story. And I wonder if at first he wondered and questioned why he ever was part of the story. We talked about that a little bit in the Sunday school lesson. Planning to get married and discovering that Mary was with child. Yes, of the Holy Ghost, but what were people going to say? What kind of believable story is this? We do know that he was concerned about it. It says in the verses that he thought on these things. He was concerned for Mary. He was concerned about doing the right thing. And God revealed to him what to do. And it seems like wherever Joseph is mentioned, that he listened to the messages from God and followed. So men, fathers, leaders of the home, young fellows, stand for truth. Protect the truth. Protect those in your care. Yes, physically and manly protection, but be also a spiritual protector. Place yourself where God can speak. We cannot expect to hear God's voice if we aren't open to it. Live a just life. Influential lives are not often loud and earth-shaking, so to speak, but the steady, consistent, conscientious, and humble servant leaders. We too will not change the world in the same way as Joseph, but we are part of the story of Jesus, and we will make a difference in our families and in our brotherhood for generations to come. He talks about the angel and the host of angels. I suppose, too, they are characters we could look at. They were part of the story, and they brought joy to the story. Tidings are great joy. Messages to Elizabeth, Mary, Joseph, and down through the previous generations. Part of that long-awaited moment of when Jesus would come to the world to save man from sin. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I think that is some of the prettiest pictures of joy. The angels caught up in the moment and excited for the good news of the Savior's birth. I love the artist renderings of the angels in the clouds announcing the coming of the Savior's birth. The Magi. Do you children know who the Magi were? Any of you know who I'm talking about when I say the Magi? We don't usually use that term, but any of you in the front row know who I'm talking about? Wise men. Very good. Three kings, sometimes they are called. We sing the Christmas song, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." Traditions would suggest they were kings, but the Bible does not specify their number or that they were in fact kings. It just says the wise men, unless Psalm 72 gives us some insight on that in regards to kings. And a lot of historians, I think, try to prove it pretty well. Three gifts could give us a clue that there were three individuals. However many there were, and whoever they were, They follow the star. If we are part of the Christmas story, I think we too need to be paying attention to what God is showing us. It was no random thing to end up in Bethlehem. They made choices because of what they believed and saw. We find it hard to drop what we are doing for even the small things of God. Could we also sacrifice the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh? Another marvelous promise that we see in the involvement of the wise men is that to be part of this story extended beyond just the promise to the Jews. This promise extended to the whole world. It appears these were the first Gentiles to recognize and worship Jesus. And it doesn't matter who we are in matters of human so-called greatness, we all must bow before the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Another person involved in the story was Herod. Yes, Herod was part of the Christmas story. He definitely did not add to the peace and joy that the angels were speaking of. All he could think of was himself and the threat that a newborn king would mean to his kingship. We did not read far enough in Luke there, but we know the story of how Herod, so intent on himself and his power, was willing to kill all the little boys from 2 years old and under, hard-hearted and cold. The world is increasingly growing hard-hearted and cold. Will we be like the wise men and discern between the voices of deception and evil? We by no means want to be Herod, but are we somewhat hardened and deceived by all those voices of compromise simply because it doesn't seem as bad as outright disobedience and unbelief? I think there are a lot of Herods in the world today, you could say, especially in so-called Christian societies. They want to worship the king too, but finally, in the end, it is only for selfish motives and at the expense of others and at the expense of glory to God. We have another group of people mentioned, the chief priests and scribes. It says that Herod consulted with them in regards to where Christ should be born. In fact, this says he demanded of them. Now, here in this particular reading on the chief priests and scribes, it doesn't really give us an indication of where and what they exactly believed, except that they did tell King Herod that it was prophesied that Christ would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, why were these Bible scholars missing the signs of Jesus' birth? We do know more about the chief priests and scribes, don't we, from other scriptures? They were the folks that plotted to have Jesus killed because they felt threatened by his teachings, popularity, and other actions. They felt he undermined their authority and resented him for that. They, in fact, were working totally against what they taught and supposedly believed, this Messiah that they were waiting for. The story was unfolding right before their very eyes, and yet in their blindness, totally missing the redemption and glory of it all. I wonder if that isn't where most of us find ourselves too easily. We like godliness and the security of good things, and yet we get caught up with political nonsense and selfish agendas and work totally against what we say and believe. We crucify Jesus, our very own Savior, just like the chief priests and scribes. Caesar Augustus, now who is this? Proverbs 21, verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. It says in Luke chapter 2 that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Was there more to it than just getting Joseph and Mary to the city of Bethlehem? Well, we do know it was part of it. God works things however he will, through whoever he will, in his timing. Some who may not even acknowledge the kingship of the Lord Jesus are used of God unwittingly for his purposes. While man's choices often lead in the wrong direction and show carnality in his stubborn heart, God still works things out in his will and in his time to perfection. Let's take that into practicality for today. Have you ever seen God do something good in spite of you? To my chagrin, I sure have for myself. It's not just kings that God turns with us whoever he will. God will use whomever he will. He will use us. Sometimes, yes, we stand in the way, but God still brings about his purposes. Time and time again, God uses unsuspecting people to carry out his purposes. You could say the funds of the wicked can turn into gold nuggets for the kingdom. God will do that. He sure will. And in so many more ways, too. Another person in the Christmas story is the innkeeper. From what I could tell, there is very little said about the innkeeper. In fact, all it says in the scriptures is there was no room for them in the inn, and that baby Jesus had a manger for a cradle. Those stories we've heard from little on up in the nativity scene, so many love dearly. The songs that were inspired and imagined, not wrong, I don't believe. I'm sure that many of them were inspired from wanting and wishing to have been there. The desire to get a glimpse of the baby Jesus and worship, just as the wise men and the shepherds did so long ago. But what about this innkeeper? There must have been some innkeeper of sorts. I think we tend to be a bit smug and think that we surely would have given up our room for Joseph and Mary. They were far too important to be shown to the stable. Well, in all fairness, did the innkeeper even know? Did he even have a room of his own to give up? And after all the other rooms were full. I suppose we come back to the thoughts near the beginning of the sermon. The correct test to what would we have done is, what are we doing now? We are happy, or at least okay, with spending thousands on travel, family get-togethers, and gift exchanging. Are we truly thinking about the place in our hearts for the newborn king? If so, our Christmas will look different from the Christmases of so many others. Will there be travel, get-togethers, and gift-giving? Most certainly. But at the heart of whatever we do for Christmas will be to the honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. The shepherds abiding in the field. Maybe we can identify with the shepherds better than we can with the wise men. A bit more common and ordinary. Maybe that's beside the point, but probably not really. God was reaching out to all mankind. We all can identify and be part of this story. Picture yourself out on a clear, starry night. I like to look up at the stars and feel my closeness with God. Maybe you're lying on the ground watching for falling stars and admiring the vastness of it all. Not very aware of your surroundings. Perhaps it's an incredibly bright falling star that jolts you out of the calm of the moment. Or if it's on our yard, a huge dog comes barreling past you at full speed, startles you. That's how it is for us. But suppose suddenly there was a bright angel nearby. Can you imagine? They were startled. But the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Wherever you are, whether it's gazing up at the night sky, whether it's reading God's word early in the morning or late at night, whether it's by the ocean or out in the forest, listen and go. Go find that newborn king. They did just that and more. They found baby Jesus, and when they went and told everyone, they went and told everybody about it. It says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And that brings us to another group of people, a much larger group of people. All the people that heard about it. That story still goes on today. We are part of that story in some way or another. In fact, all of mankind is part of the story. Even those who reject the story, they too are a part of it because Jesus came for them. He came for each one of us. He uses all of us directly or indirectly. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." We heard that about in the devotional as well. 1 John 4, verse 14 says that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And there are many more Bible verses pointing to the saving work of Jesus for all of mankind. Part of the story. We could expand the story. It includes John the Baptist, Elizabeth, Anna, Zechariah, the prophets, and all the generations before and all the generations after. Jesus, baby Jesus, the main character of the story, wants you to be a part of it in a very real way. Jesus cares about you deeply. He cares about where you are specifically right now. He wants to heal and bind up the wounds. He wants you, not just in the mechanics and happenings of daily life and years, but he wants you to be a part of it with your heart and soul. He wants me to be a part of it. Make the Christmas story a part of your life and spread the good news. In Isaiah 61, verse 1, Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." We are a part of that story. So let's continue the story. Poem by Howard Thurman, "The Real Work of Christmas." When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with the flocks, then the work of Christ begins, to find the lost, to heal those broken in spirit, to feed the hungry, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among all peoples, to make a little music with the heart, and to radiate the light of Christ every day, in every way, in all that we do and in all that we say. Then the work of Christmas begins. God bless your Christmas. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. We thank you that Jesus came to earth to save us from our sins. Pray, Lord, that you would help us to live in that reality and proclaim the joy to those around us and to have it in our hearts. Pray, Lord, that you would bless those who are hurting, those who are struggling, those who are trying to find you. Pray you would just be near to them, nurture them. Pray, Lord, that you would bless all of us as we go about this week, Christmas activities or whatever it may be. Pray also you would bless the Christmas caroling tonight, and may that bless hearts and souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.